This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's hour three of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Welcome in. Home of the Cowboys, home of the Rangers. We're talking sports with you every afternoon at 5 o'clock. My name is Gavin Dawson. If you see me, bear me. N.A. stands for a non-alcoholic beer, by the way, if you've ever wondered. Some people do what that means. There's Brian Broaddus, the former Cowboy scout and NFL executive. You have Woolchuck and Chia. Follow Rock in the house. Alec Medford's in for Lucius, and Carter Freeman's coordinating your video. Joining us now, talking some college basketball, is a star from the world of hoop at Notre Dame. He was awesome, and he was the fifth overall pick in the 1992 NBA draft, played 11 years in the league. And LaFonso Ellis joins us now here on 105.3 The Fan. Good afternoon, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing really well. How are you guys today?
Oh, we're doing great. You know, it's Friday. We got the women's Final Four in our city, and the men's Final Four down south. So we're in basketball paradise down here in Texas, LaFonso. How about you?
I love that. Doing really well, actually, here in Houston, and taking it all in, and then got a chance to go over and watch a couple of the shoot-arounds earlier. And it's just really cool to be here and taking all of this in. I'm so excited to watch the games tomorrow and Monday.
What were you looking for at shoot-around, or did something jump out to you?
I was just looking primarily at body language coming out and just curious, you know, who's loose, who's tight. And I got a chance to see Florida Atlantic come out on the floor today, and they were just as loose and as confident as you could possibly be, working hard, going through their drill sets and things of that nature. And then San Diego State came out, worked equally as hard, but I find it interesting. You know, usually when teams come out and they start shoot around, you know, guys are heaving up half-court shots, shooting threes, you know, just loose. San Diego State, first thing they did when they came out on the floor today, they did box out and close out drills to just get it started. So it just tells you the different philosophies that are out there around college basketball, which I enjoy, the unique nature of it.
Yeah, they say, you know, you just want to stay in your routine and treat it like any other weekend or whatever, but is that possible? I guess the coaches are trying as hard as they can, huh?
Yes, and I think you're exactly right. The coaches are trying to make this as normal as they possibly can, but as you know, today with social media and the access to it, it's very difficult to keep kids from kind of venturing outside of the locker room, so to speak. But each team seemed to be very focused and ready to go. I just think their approaches are a little bit different.
You know, we were talking earlier about the women's Final Four. You got some big-time programs. This year's Final Four on the men's side, you don't have those blue bloods, right? You don't have Kentucky. You don't have Kansas. You don't have Duke. You played at a big program there at Notre Dame. Do you think that's good or bad for college basketball on the men's side?
I think it depends on how you look at it. Is you know, everyone said that they wanted to see a lot more parity, if you will, throughout college basketball. We have that. I made a point about 14 years ago when I first came to ESPN that because of the one-and-done nature, so players that are coming out of high school were coming to college for a year and then going into the NBA, that there would be a natural overall reduction of the talent pool or the talent level, if you will, while at the same time, many of the high major programs started to adopt the same philosophy that had been so successful with low majors and mid majors, and that is get old and stay old. And so now, as we look at the four teams that are in the finals, or the four teams that are in the Final Four, they all emulate that to a degree. UConn's done it with a couple of transfers, with Tristan Newton coming over to fill a much-needed position at the point guard spot. Miami, of course, has done it with two of them. One of them, Norchad Omier on the interior, who's been the anchor. San Diego State, they have a couple of transfers, and Florida Atlantic has done the same. And so all those teams have gotten older. They've been together for a little while, and if they haven't been together for a little while, like we see with Miami, they were important pieces that came in and filled a great need. And so now we see some unusual names. However, don't forget, I actually refer to UConn as a blue blood because they've won four national titles, three of them in this state.
And do they have a big target on their back right now? Kind of feels like they're the team that feels like they're of the Final Four. They're the one seed, and everybody they're the heavy favorite. And I wonder how that affects a team.
It is my like if there's any obstacle that they'll have to overcome, it's just that because their fan base are looking around. They see whether it's on ESPN or they see it written printed in newspapers or whatever it is that they decide to read. That they're the heavy favorite. And so I wonder internally if that creates a bit of pressure because now all of a sudden, instead of kind of coming into it as an underdog, you know, the target's on their back. And of course they haven't been here in a little while. So I am concerned about that being their main hurdle. But when we talk about firepower, this is a team that's deep in every single position. They can play big, they can play small, they can play fast, they play in half court. So they're the deepest, most talented team of the four teams. And I think the favorite to win it, but I am wondering if that could be a little bit of mounting internal pressure, especially if the game is close down the stretch.
ESPN's LaFonso Ellis here with you on 105.3 The Fan. Okay, that's what I was going to ask. You know, is UConn the clear favorite in your eyes as much as it is in Vegas? What could trip them up?
Yeah, I had four teams. I was asked that question about a month ago. I had four teams that if you look at their numbers, they were the four teams that had had a legitimate chance to win it. UConn was one, Alabama, Tennessee, and UCLA. And obviously the other teams have fallen away, but here we are. UConn still stands. But
nice pick.
I don't like using this terminology, but it really is theirs to lose. But in order to lose something, you have to have it first. So they've got to go win two games to make it happen.
Huh. How has it been for you with so many of the top seeds going out? How's that changed the viewing and the media experience from your perspective?
It didn't, because coming into the season, we felt that the top teams, so we would say the top 10 teams, all of them had major flaws. And if we used Alabama, what was their major flaw? Not talent or length or athleticism, but their major flaw was youth. And then you combine the whole off-the-court situation with Brandon Miller, or in and around Brandon Miller, I just think a couple little injuries along the way, his health not being where it needed to be, along with the relative inexperience starting three freshmen out there on the floor caught up to them. And so you look at Houston, for example. That's what I think this is a classic example of what makes the NCAA tournament so special is that, you know, it's a one-game single elimination deal, and you could run into a team who you're better than. You have more talent. You're a harder, tougher playing team. You have a style that's unique to play against. But all of a sudden, you play against a team like Miami, who is the absolute worst team that Houston could play against because Houston likes to trap you in the backcourt. Ball screen situations, they trap those and make you give it up. The problem is when you do that against Miami, now all of a sudden if you have two on the ball, that means that they have four on your three, and three of their four are all capable of shooting it from three and making plays off the dribble. And so that's why at times that they made offense look so easy against that really tough Houston defense. And so I think that's what makes the NCAA tournament so unique and so special is just you just never know because the best teams don't always win, and certainly that's been the case with the number one seeds this year.
LaFonso,
they're very worthy number one seeds at that.
Yeah, excuse me about that. LaFonso, the fact that these Final Fours are played in these huge stadiums, is that a talking point at all? We talk about shooters' eyes and stuff like that. Is that something that you even think about, or is it, you know, these kids, we play in arenas all over the country, but is playing in this stadium going to change the game in any way?
I don't know. I mean, you know, they've been doing it for a long time now, and so you would think that kids would have the opportunity to adjust for that. I always thought that was an interesting question because Coach Digger Phelps, who I played for my first 3 years at Notre Dame, used to enjoy taking us around and allowing us an opportunity to play in historical venues, you know, Pauley Pavilion, Madison Square Garden, you name it. But when we went to play at the Carrier Dome, and I was a back-to-the-basket, you know, 15 to 18-foot jump shooting big, And I'm telling you, when we went in there, it literally felt like I was shooting into space. It's almost like the backboard and the rim was like hanging out in space because of the backdrop or lack thereof. And so you have to wonder if that's impacting the kids, because the three-point shooting is down. And this is 2 years in a row now that that is down. I think a little bit of it is the teams that are playing now, their freedom of movement has just gone out the window. So there's a little bit more holding, bumping, cutters, clutching, that kind of thing going on. So that could be impacting it. But I wouldn't doubt at all if it's also the atmosphere. But it's a business, too. They got to sell tickets, right?
Right.
ESPN College Game Day analyst LaFonso Ellis with us here on 105.3 The Fan with the G-Bag Nation. So, LaFonso, you played in both the NCAA tournament and the NIT. You led your team to the 92 finals in the NIT. My North Texas Mean Green, we finally won our first championship, winning the NIT last night. Thank you very much, sir. Now, people want to be like, oh, you're the 69th best team in college basketball. But for you, I mean, what was the experience like playing in the NIT? Because I'm thrilled and I'm so proud of my guys.
Yeah, same here. We started four seniors and a freshman, and we seniors, we just wanted to keep playing. We put ourselves in jeopardy, and that, if I remember correctly, I think we were 15 and 14 going into the last game, and we needed to beat DePaul. We had a really strong strength of schedule because we played and beat some of the top teams in the country, top ranked teams in the country. The problem was we lost to some teams that we shouldn't, and we lost to DePaul in the last game, which sent us to the NIT. And as four seniors, we wanted to just keep playing and to have something to play for, and we took that very seriously. We were fortunate to win three games on our home floor that got us to Madison Square Garden. And then also what was at play is those four seniors all had an opportunity to play in the NBA at a certain level. Damon Sweet had an opportunity to try out for the Orlando Magic. Keith Tower played in the league for 3 or 4 years. Elmer Bennett was drafted by the Atlanta Hawks. And so there were all these motivating factors. But if you had to ask me what was the main motivating factor, we wanted to keep playing and hopefully keep winning.
Which one of these men's Final Four games is most interesting to you here, LaFonso?
I think it's the Miami-UConn. The San Diego State one in Florida Atlantic is interesting because of contrasting styles. San Diego State likes to play slow half-court physical defense. Florida Atlantic likes to get out and go. But it's the UConn-Miami one because UConn should win this game because of the size that they have with Adama Sanogo on the interior, who's averaging 20 points and nearly 10 rebounds throughout the NCAA tournament, passing it well. So they have a tremendous strength inside for Miami, and depth at that position, because when he goes out, Donovan Klingon, the 7'2 freshman, comes in. But Miami, one of the ways that they've been able to get here is they have four guys from their one through their four who can all shoot it, who can all pass it, who can all handle it, and can get to the rim and make plays. And so it's going to be interesting to see how Coach Larrañaga plays against UConn with Adama Sanogo. Will they give him a steady diet of doubling? Will they double him on the catch? Will they double him on the first dribble? Will they allow him every now and then to go one-on-one inside with Norchad Omier? Norchad Omier cannot. The Miami set undersized center cannot get in foul trouble. Right. If he gets in foul trouble, they are in big trouble because they have no depth at the five spot. So I think the UConn-Miami game is the most intriguing.
How about Caitlin Clark against South Carolina tonight? How intriguing is that for you?
Well, when you have one of the more amazing players in all of sport, it's going to be interesting. I'm interested to see if South Carolina tries to get the basketball out of her hands early, and meaning really double team her to get the basketball out of her hands to make someone else out there on the floor, because that's what's so unique about South Carolina is they really have 5 to 6 women on that team who can really score the basketball and can really go get 15 to 20 any night. Mm. So will the balance and depth of South Carolina be able to offset one of the great scorers in all of basketball in Caitlin Clark?
Yeah, she's something to watch, man. I can't wait for that game. Who's your favorite NBA teammate of all time? Let's go back to the 90s or something, LaFonso. What do you say?
Bryant Stith. He's like my brother. He and I were drafted together, 5 and 13, for the Denver Nuggets, and they're connected at the hip, and he's my all-time favorite.
Oh, that's fantastic.
My best friend from the league.
That is so cool. Well, congrats on your tremendous playing career. It was a lot of fun watching you then, and your post-playing career as a broadcaster. You're just killing it, and enjoy the Final Four, sir. We thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for the compliment, and thanks for having me on the show. Blessings to you and your family.
Salute to you, sir. What a great guy, LaFonso Ellis. First time I've ever talked to him. A wealth of information and a full, total gentleman here in the G-Bag Nation. All righty. Where are we going here, gentlemen? We got the Bully Bullies Top 10 at 420 coming up next. Where are we going with that, sir?
Well, in honor of Eric trying to put down this Boomstick Burger, I've got the top 10 best food item at every MLB park, okay? So they've got all of them listed. I'm going to go through the top 10 plus audio of a growing Texas high school football legend next on The Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, Nation. A lot going on. We have the top 10 at 420 coming up here with Woolchuck. Chiafalo now has 1 hour to finish the burger, or his challenge will be denied, and I will be thrown into challenge Hades, into purgatory. So he's got an hour to finish this the Boomstick Burger Challenge.
Is there some left over there? He's warming up some right now.
Yeah, yes, he cut about half of the nine, maybe a little less than half.
Oh, so he's got another 5 inches.
I would have liked to have seen him try and do it as fast as he could have. That would have been fun.
I hope he just backs up.
He might have done it in 30 minutes if he would have just gone straight through, maybe 35 minutes, but he might have got sick. So he's making the wise choice here. Segment is brought to you by the Frankels. There's a reason you need a special license to drive a big truck. So companies that hire drivers and put them in a big truck should be held accountable for what happens when one hurts you. Frankly, you need Franklin. Frankel consultations always free, truckwreck.com. Here is the Woolly Bully, Woolchuck.
Thank you very much, General. I've got the top 10 food items. This is across all Major League Baseball stadiums. So somebody ate all these and went ahead and ranked the top 10. Yeah. So this is going to be from last season because they haven't gotten the 2023
ones. I think I saw this on TikTok.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
It is a very good challenge, and this is well done.
So, and I was listening to KNC yesterday, and for those that have traveled around to different ballparks, text in, let us know what was your favorite food item, 877-881-1053.
They had some people that were texting that had been like 22, 23 ballparks.
Incredible. I was blown away.
I know that Kent Nelson, who's the assistant general manager of the Texas Motor Speedway, by the way, they're racing at Texas this weekend, the IndyCars.
I might be going tomorrow to the truck race.
Too. But, yeah, he and his son, who works at, I believe, at Bristol, the Speedway at Bristol, have been to, I think, all the Major League Baseball parks.
That's sweet.
They travel around every summer and hit them all. So, good for
him. I did want to, because I didn't get to do this during NFL News of the Day, I had some audio of Clemson's new quarterback, and he was with Austin Westlake. And I saw this on TikTok. He was doing an interview with Adam Brenneman, and it's Cade Klubnik, who won a couple of state championships here. And
he
then
played a little bit last
did.
Year.
He ended up kind of taking over for DJ Uiagalelei towards the end of the season.
Remember the Syracuse game he came in and played. Yeah.
And he should be their starter moving forward. So Cade could potentially have a great career, but he talked about the state championship game that Westlake played in against Southlake Carroll, which happened to be Quinn Ewers on the other side. And he apparently suffered an injury prior to it, played in it. Here's how the story goes.
I cannot pick up my shoulder. I was like, this is not going to be too good. You know, we're going to play Quinn Ewers in Southlake the next week in the state championship game. And I did not throw a single ball the entire week. My backup, who was another guy, also like one of my best buddies, a guy named Stoney McGuire, he took every single first team rep the entire week in the state championship. So the whole week, I'm sitting there behind Stoney and literally just doing everything but throw the ball. And so he's doing everything. I'm standing 3 yards behind him, acting like I'm getting every rep, going to the game, and had one of the best games of my career.
amazing.
Legend.
Literally. I mean, the legend in Texas high school football lore, that's a big deal. And he did.
Medicated?
Maybe? Tell me, what do you think about those docs?
Huh? I don't know. The docs do a great job of getting ready to go.
They sure do. Yeah.
Even in high school? They're going to shoot you with cortisone?
It's a championship.
They're
going
to put you on that T train?
Bro.
Those are big programs.
Bro, we're talking about, like, we're trying to win a.
I mean, they three-peated over there at Westlake.
Yeah, we're trying to win a state championship here.
I hear you. The T in Texas high school football stands for Toradol.
Yeah, it sure does. You get out there by any means necessary. Your arm going to fall off? I don't care, kid.
I'm sure there's people going to text in and say I'm evil for saying that. We're talking about a big game, right?
Yeah. Huge game. Yeah. And Quinn Ewers, who at that time was the number one recruit, and he was going to Ohio State, and then you had Cade, who was going to Clemson. I mean, this was a big-time quarterback matchup.
Maybe the second biggest game of all time outside of last night's North Texas.
Damn right. God, I love it. Go Mean Green. Shout out to you guys. All right, as we slide into baseball talk.
Parade down Fry Street?
We should have a parade. Dude, Fry Street was probably going ham last night.
I was blown away when you walked in and I said, were you on Fry last night? And you said no.
I know, I wanted
There's
to.
Part of me that still doesn't believe
I weigh in tomorrow. I can't. I got to limit my alcohol consumption.
I should have got on the scale before I got here and then weighed when I got home to see how much weight this 2-foot cheeseburger
it smells,
is putting
it
on
smells
me.
Good.
It smells delicious. Yeah.
It does smell good.
It really
good.
Does. I'm glad my hunger's coming back.
We do have some trolls, the 214 far too much time, extremely weak challenge.
Hey, blame DeGrom for that, okay? Blame 9 runs in the 4th inning yesterday. Blame one of the most entertaining opening day games of all time because of that, dude.
We're celebrating, baby.
Like, freaking sorry about it.
Very quickly before we slide into the top 10, Adam Wainwright, did you guys see the Cardinals pitcher?
Did a great job.
Sang the national anthem.
Great job.
Not as good as the Tone Rangers in the stretch
yesterday. Tone Rangers crushed it, but here is a little bit of Adam Wainwright singing the national anthem yesterday.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight.
Good man, yeah,
right?
Pretty good.
I was smooth. very impressed by Adam Wainwright yesterday.
What's funny, did you see they were lined up for the lineups along the first baseline there, and then they made the announcement who was going to sing, and he just kind of went out of line. Everybody's kind of looking at him like, bro, you're really going to sing.
Yeah, they were shocked.
And he crushed it.
He really did great. Yeah.
I do think that'd be a fun G-Bag Nation payoff for one of these Ranger games. You got to sing the national anthem.
That's not fun. That's
terrifying. I'd do it if they let me, but it would be bad. I think they would say I disrespected
would
it.
You, would you? Yeah. Would the singing part or throwing out a pitch be more terrifying?
Singing. Singing would be more.
Singing would be more terrifying.
The pitch is at least very quick. I mean, I get up there unless I want to drag it out.
What was it? Who was it? 50 Cent? Who was that?
I'm way more confident.
50 Cent was terrible.
In throwing
it. We've seen a lot of bad ones.
Floyd's been bad. Yeah. Meg Thee Stallion was dynamite last night.
But she looked so good.
I would say, though, throwing the first pitch would be the most nerve-wracking because I feel like my manhood's on the line a little bit here.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
There's actually expectations
involved.
You
skip that bad boy or you throw that thing far left, far right.
Yeah. You got to wing it. Now, if I throw it 70 miles an hour and it's off target, I'm fine. But if you like do a little chintzy throw or it goes looping in the air or something like that, that's the embarrassment.
If it's clear you do not play youth baseball,
That's what you're not looking to do.
Well, I'd own that. I mean, it would probably look terrible, and I'd probably one skip that sucker in there. But then we'd have a laugh about it, and it'd be funny.
But if you had the choice, tomorrow's day two for the Rangers, Globe Life Field, they say you can sing the natty or you can do the first pitch. I think we're all going first pitch.
I'm going first
pitch.
I
think this might be a generational thing. Like these whippersnappers, they don't care if they look bad throwing, Brian. You can't look bad throwing.
I've never looked bad
throwing.
But
that's the problem is the right shoulder, crawfish shoulder.
See, you got to know yourself.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you're not a four anymore.
I think I would sing.
Yeah, you're going to sing. Yeah,
I'm gonna sing.
If you can't throw well, you should sing.
Yeah, gosh, I wouldn't want to butcher the American national anthem like that. I feel like I'd be just shaming my country.
No, did you give it your best? That's all. I mean, you're not going to disrespect the sport of baseball when inevitably you
hell yeah, I need to read that thing just in case. That's my biggest fear is you miss a verse or something, you skip over, and everyone's looking at you like this jackwagon.
Do like these half-ass maid of honors are doing now at these weddings? Just look at your phone and. Just read off.
You're right. That's probably what I should do.
You could recover from that. I don't think you could recover from a bad throw.
It'd be harder to recover from. It'd be harder to recover from a bad throw.
I think there's been plenty of bad throws, and we just laugh at them, and I'd be laughing with them. Like, did you see me throw that? God, I looked like hell.
Yeah, dude, but then when you give a sports take, and then guy who disagrees with it just sends in your mentions you throwing a terrible pass. And it's look, you can't even throw a baseball.
Yeah, they put in my mentions bombing the national anthem. Yeah, but it's just as bad, if not worse.
You have kids, and like they it's on YouTube, and like, you know, now your child has to deal with like, hey, your dad, I saw him throw the first pitch out, and you're like,
well, that's why I got Mikey B coaching him up on how to properly throw a baseball, because I sure as bleep aren't. Yeah. Will not.
I think Marshawn Lynch had a bad one yesterday. He doesn't have to worry about his manhood. He proved it.
Where did he throw one out?
Seattle.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Let's go.
Where else?
Could have been Oakland.
Oakland, yeah. 3-2-1 Dawson.
You're right.
In front of all nine fans that were there.
That's a good point. I wonder at opening day how many they get. All right, let's slide into the top 10. Top 10 food items at Major League ballparks from last year. Now, Medford, as somebody who goes to a lot of different events, mostly concerts, but I don't know if you've gotten to try any curious item at a ballpark before.
Ooh, man. I did the, what did they call it at the Ranger game? The foul pole?
Okay, that's going to be on here.
Yeah, the massive chicken tender. Fantastic.
All right.
Fantastic.
Nice. So number 10 on here is an 18-inch hot dog at Chase Field. So what is this bad boy? We said 15 inches? How long?
You measured
24.
Oh, 24.
It's a 2-footer. What are you talking about?
I don't know. I didn't realize how big it was.
It's like me in the basketball hoop. Yeah. Just threw a random number out
there.
So
this one's 15 smaller.
Inches in 31. The first 30 minutes.
Right. You should have just kept going.
No, dude.
Are you struggling right now? This one is looking a little slower.
I'm hurting.
You got this, dude. This is $30.
He ain't hurting.
It's an all beef hot dog, bratwurst, and a variety of toppings. Looks like they've got pickles on here. They've got some coleslaw on here. And I don't know. I think they've got mustard or some weird
Dawson
looking.
Dawson just sent in the punt team on that.
Yeah, because of the coleslaw.
No.
And the pickles.
I think it was the pickles.
Oh, yeah. Two things. Yeah. Yeah. It's not going well.
This is $30, but they said that is the number 10 best item that they tried last year. Now, number 9, this sounds delicious, and I think we need to try and make a trip up here, but it's the crab cakes at Oriole Park at Camden Yards.
Yeah.
$11. They've been serving this since 1994. It's a jumbo lump crab cake, Old Bay seasoning.
There you go.
Crab cakes and football. That's what Maryland does. This thing looks divine.
I told you the time there at the old in Baltimore when I gave the lady an extra 20 in the food line. Like we were in the press box for an extra crab cake.
Did you have them at there?
I had him
at Oracle?
No, I didn't. I had him at the
at Camden Yards, I'm sorry.
Camden Yards. Yeah. Gave her an extra 20 to get one.
That's one of the items that a lot of people like, and I respect their taste and everything, and I'm just like, why don't I get this? I want to like crab, you know? I like lobster, I like shrimp.
You don't like the smell?
I don't know what it is. I think it's the texture.
Maybe you've had overly breaded crab cakes, because we get a lot of those here, and that's the issue. You need a lot of, you need like a lightly sear, kind of like a pan fry on either side, but you want to make sure you've got a bunch of the jumbo lump crab. The crab meat has to be the star.
Okay, next time we're somewhere and you're like, these are freaking amazing, let me try them.
All right.
Yeah, I got to try the good ones.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Number 8.
This is the fisherman's basket at Popeyes. We're going to try.
Now, that's a good tackle box.
I've never seen Gavin so excited before.
God, he totally just like left. Just like, oh, you guys keep by yourself.
I thought you should have gotten a second one, man. I think you could have housed it.
Oh, easily.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Number 8. This sounds interesting. It's a peanut butter and bacon sandwich from Target Field. So they're selling this for $10.
Okay. I'm digging this because
sounds delicious.
There's a possibility Minneapolis, Minnesota, and all that known for like maple syrup and stuff like that. The bacon kind of like.
Oh,
sweet
a maple bacon.
Bacon. Yeah,
peanut butter, bacon, strawberry jelly, and sourdough bread.
Oh, yeah, that's a bomb. With some milk, like some cold milk to wash
okay,
that down.
Okay, wait. The sourdough bread, though, that's a different flavor for all those.
It is, but it looks
sweet and sour kind of a thing. No, I'm just. All right, Texas toast.
They do.
Give me the Texas toast on that.
And you might be onto something.
And I love sourdough bread.
They do say the grilled sourdough bread really brings a new dimension to the sandwich.
Yeah, I thought they would know how it complements the flavor profile well. Now, speaking of the flavor profile, we got a lot of belching coming over from Chiafalo as he is attempting his Boomstick Burger Payoff Challenge. And the heavy breathing has come into the picture. Yeah. I noticed the bite frequency is down to like one every 2 minutes. And there's a lot of...
Thank God there's not a pitch clock on me.
Do you
right
have
now.
Meat sweats right now?
Does he have to have a beer with this at some point in time and what you're thinking and what you're drinking?
I think he should. It might help, actually, to wash it down.
I brought you a Miller Lite.
Yeah, Walchuk did the good teammate thing. He brought me the Miller Lite. He heard Baskey say that there's a carbonation thing that the pros do because the belching helps you.
Baskey called in.
Like, with every belch, you are one more bite. Like, you're one bite
it
closer.
It settles it.
Yeah. So I'll probably, after these final 2.5 inches of this one, before we finish on the final four that I got sitting in there, shout out to the final four this weekend, I'll probably do a Miller Lite in between.
Okay.
Yeah, see this text, Cheech is fading before our very eyes while you guys are sitting here conversating. It looks like we might have some real meat sweats.
Yeah, this is.
Yeah, you notice it too on the cam.
It's going to be a final stretch. Like, the final 5 minutes of this fourth quarter is going to be the real freaking deal.
How much do you have left over? Oh, no, you have another 4 inches over there.
Oh, are you getting nervous?
I'm more nervous than I've been all afternoon.
All I want is waiting? Dawson to like start MFing you for not getting this done.
Okay, Chief ate the first 12 inches in about 20 minutes, and then he has been waiting, and now he's about to work it down to about the final, I don't know, 5.5 inches or something. But are you concerned yet, Chiafal? That's what I want to know.
Absolutely.
You are?
There's a little bit of concern setting in.
Oh, no. Okay. Well, this is going to be a fun finish then.
The opposing team's shots are starting to fall. You can tell you're looking your players in
the
eyes.
Or the Mavs for
the
last 4 minutes.
It's like North Texas with a 10-point lead at half, and then UAB stormed back and made it a game.
It's going to come down to clutch time.
And if Chief doesn't finish, not only does he have to do a payoff next week, but I do too.
Yes.
This is for both of us.
Oh, yeah. Goodness gracious. There's a lot on the line here. Okay, number 7 is the Elote at Dodger Stadium, which Gavin would be out on because there's mayonnaise in here, street corn cheese, spicy aioli. It looks divine.
Ooh. Yeah,
number
I like
6
the spicy aioli.
Is the foul pole. Alec Medford, Little Red Medford with the pierced nips from Globe Life Park. Yes, last year. Now, I don't know if they're still serving this, as I think that our Boomstick Burger has taken over. This was $27.50, but they loved it. They were like, not even McDonald's, not KFC, not Popeyes, not Chick-fil-A has a chicken tender like this bad boy.
Did you house that whole tender solo, Medford?
Oh, no. I was there with a group of people, and someone just said, hey, I'm going to go buy this massive chicken tender. Do you want some? And I was like, absolutely.
Yeah.
Did you eat it like Lady and the Tramp style with your bro?
Oh, yeah. You know, that's the only way to go.
That is the only way to go. Number 5 is the Waffles at City Field. It's a waffle cone, ice cream, and any treat you can possibly imagine stacked on top of this. It's got, like, brownies. It's got little cheesecake bites, sprinkles. Oh, this thing looks amazing. They've got Fruity Pebbles cereal that they'll throw on this thing, plus whipped cream, vanilla and chocolate to cake batter and more. Looks loaded. Number 4 is this 32-ingredient salad at Rogers Center. Now, I know you're thinking, what the hell is a salad? But apparently it's delicious, and I couldn't name you half of what the hell's in this thing. I don't know that I'd order it because it sounds a little too healthy for me. Number 3.
What's the one protein? Just give me a protein.
It looks like you've got some tuna in here.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
you. You might like that because it does kind of have like a poke feel
to it. It's like a poke feel to it, I bet. Yeah.
Number 3 is the triple threat pork sandwich at Petco Park. Pulled pork, bacon, porn loin schnitzel.
Porn loin?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Pork, my favorite kind of
pork loin schnitzel. Pepperoncinis, relish, shack aioli, and brioche buns.
Shack aioli.
Looks like it is overflowing with goodness.
There's no definition for porn loin, but when you see it, you know.
Did I say porn loin? I apologize. What I'm thinking about, boys.
I'll tell you what, you're really believable doing this segment right now.
Yeah.
You really are a jackal.
I did it on purpose.
I know you did.
Number 2 is the toasted grasshoppers at T-Mobile Park. I would not try these.
Toasted hoppers?
But they sold 1.6 million of these little buggers.
Are they dipped in chocolate?
Got to be put in chocolate.
They're chocolate dipped, right?
They are straight up grasshoppers from this picture, boys.
Wow, that one catch grasshoppers chocolate. As a kid and hold them by the wings and that black tar they spit out?
Mm-hmm. No.
There's a bunch of that black tar in their bellies.
Yeah.
We
used to pull them apart.
Yeah.
You could see it.
You can coat it in all the chocolate you want and it want nothing to do with that. It's disgusting.
No, it's disgusting.
Is that in Seattle?
No, there was the same thing with the Texas.
Yeah.
I was going to say Texas grasshoppers are the same, but I get what you mean.
I get the Seattle ones might be a little more dense in flavor. Who knows? Number 1.
Speaking of dense, man, I'm telling you, this beef patty on here is a triple.
You're struggling. You better finish those fixins.
I'm going to finish the fixins, Jack.
47 minutes to go.
Number 1, though, is the Bow to the Pork at Wrigley Field, Brian Broaddus's most hated stadium in Major League Baseball.
Overrated.
Pulled pork. A bow bun, pickled daikon and carrots, cucumbers, and jalapeno relish, baby.
Probably could get that in Wrigleyville outside the stadium somewhere.
You know who Jeff Morrow is?
Yes.
Food Network star. He is the inventor of this sandwich.
Oh, man. It does sound good, but I could do without going into Wrigley Field.
Thank you so much, Woolchuck. The top 10 every afternoon, 420. Coming up next here on The Fan, I believe Chiafalo mid-bet payoff is going to take us around the rim. That could get dangerous.
Yep, playing a dangerous game. There's a rivalry that no one knew existed, but it does. It's nice.
All right. Thank you very much. Eric Chiafalo has about 36 minutes to get the rest of this boomstick burger down to win the challenge. It is it's quite a bet payoff Friday here, and it officially became a bet payoff in that last segment when Chiafalo started laboring through a food challenge. You know the look on somebody's face. It's undeniable when they've had too much to eat, and they have to keep eating. Here's Chiafalo to take us around the rim.
Splash a little water on my face there at the break just to kind of like revamp everything, you know, just
reset.
Yeah, reset, wake me up, get the body going. Got me a nice little Miller Lite here. Hopefully that opens up some bubbly burpee opportunities. We just need enough room for about 3 or 4 more inches, whatever we think that is right there.
I think you're going to do it.
All right, the rivalry we did not know existed. As we cut the lights out, we put the kids down for that afternoon snoozer, and on a Friday, the G-Bag Nation's going all 18 inches around that rim. Friend of the show, Mario Chalmers, joined us a few weeks back.
He is a friend of the show.
He's on record saying, yeah, nobody's scared of LeBron. Nobody's scared. I was his teammate, got in my face all the time. Nobody's scared. Opponents aren't scared of him. We feared Jordan. Feared guys like Kobe. Nobody fears LeBron. Well, Cameron is not here for that. And Cameron is, he's got a little basketball pedigree himself.
He's got some good basketball opinions, too.
Got a couple of basketball opinions that'll rock with you. And he does a podcast. It is what it is, pod. And he was personally offended at Mario Chalmers saying that no one fears LeBron. And so here's Cameron with a little clapback action at old Chalmers.
Yeah, I'll tell you one thing, Mario. Ain't nobody scared to play against your ass. Play you tonight. Shoot up. I'll play you tonight.
You bet you will beat Chalmers.
Chalmers?
Yeah.
10-day workout, whatever you want to bet. We put the house on. I need 10 days, though.
For Chalmers?
Yeah.
For Chalmers?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
But got Chalmers. A lot of confidence. Cameron must be close to 50 years old by now. Chalmers not even 40, still playing. It's a lot of confidence, although I did hear he was quite a player.
Mario Chalmers quote tweets the video on Twitter and just says, run it.
I think
we got ourselves a good old-fashioned one-on-one opportunity. He says
a deed of a house, it sounds like.
Yeah, he said put the house on it, bet the farm, you know, whatever it may be. Now, the rapper Cameron, he did have a pretty decent basketball career, not going to lie. He was allegedly recruited by schools like Georgetown, Syracuse. His real name, Cameron Giles, received an offer to play for Navarro College, as we know here in Texas. Apparently tore his hamstring at the start of his collegiate career. Later got kicked out of school after a weapons arrest. So there's a basketball background inside of him. Now, I don't know how often he's getting shots up. I'm sure he's not in outstanding shape. And that's the thing about one-on-one. Like,
yeah, you got to go.
You got to have, like, Chalmers. As a guy who's, remember, he's getting set for the big three.
Yeah.
He's in good enough shape. Soon. If you could just let this guy run around for a few minutes, he's going to tire himself out. And then you're Chalmers. And, you, like, to me, you always acquiesce to whoever was the professional in that. Like, I don't care how long it's been. Like, CY right now, Chris Young for the Rangers. I don't know how often he's picking up a basketball and stuff, but we know he's got that in him. He put up 20 against KU in college. That's a guy that, like, at any given moment could show up to the YMCA and probably dominate 9 out of 10 of the dudes that are there that day.
He's not giving up that court that day.
No.
Chalmers is 11 years younger and 1 inch taller. I think that's key. If Cameron had a huge jumper and could just jab step, shoot over the top, maybe.
That's your only chance, I think.
It winners out.
Right.
Yeah. But once you have to defend at 11 years older and 1 inch shorter, I think you'd get exhausted.
Man, I'll tell you what, it was fun. Did you guys see, it was Clippers and Grizzlies, and we know that Dylan Brooks for the Clippers is the guy that likes to get in everybody's ear and talk a lot of trash, but did you guys see Russell Westbrook just screaming at him? It felt like the whole game.
No. Oh,
trash. Geez. Trash. You're trash. And Dylan Brooks wouldn't even make eye contact with him. It was like Dylan Brooks didn't want any of the Russell Westbrook smoke, and Dylan Brooks is the guy that is trying to fight Shannon Sharp on any given night and call him out and basically go shirtless into the arena, like basically signaling, yeah, I'm ready to fight at any time. No shoot, no shirt, no problem kind of deal. So I don't know. It was weird. I don't know what the background is between these two, but Russell Westbrook was yelling trash in the face of Dylan Brooks, and he wanted nothing to do with Russell Westbrook.
Well, man. Russell Westbrook's a true alpha.
He is.
And Dylan Brooks is kind of a bully. So I love it, you know. I'm just seeing it right now on Twitter. Exceptional. You know,
it's well, great. Yeah.
Taking down the bully like you're supposed to, like Russell Westbrook.
Yep, and then I'll have a nice little quiz for y'all coming up in the Friday news dump that I thought was rather intriguing. It's got an NBA twist on it. How about that?
I love it, man. LeBron. Thank you so much. Okay, 26:15 is your mark. Okay, we started this at 2:22:15. He had the hours and minutes the Rangers took to finish their game yesterday. So 5:26:15 is your mark to finish this boomstick burger. I have faith in you, Chief. Okay, I know you're going to rally.
Appreciate it.
I know you're tough, and I know you're a team player. Tune in at 105thefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube, and see if he can fight through these meat sweats and still eat at least a burger's worth. He's got a burger to eat, but he just took a huge bite out of it. I'm telling
you. He's got a massive onion ring I saw and some of those peppers. I think those peppers are giving him some problems.
They're spicy, bro.
Yeah. They were. Yeah. They did have a kick to them.
Troublesome.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.